The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
Welcome to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf, your source for total wealth management. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of Roe, his guests, and callers. Now let's begin the show. Here's your host, Roe Diefendorf.
Thank you for joining us once again on Three-Dimensional Wealth. And I'm your host, Roe Diefendorf, and today I'm here with Hugh Massey. And our topic for today is financial DNA. So if that doesn't intrigue you to stay tuned, nothing will. Let me give an introduction about you, and then we'll bring him in. You is actually the president of Financial DNA Resources and the Coddington Group, which is a leading international advisory and mentoring group, which he founded back in March of 96. And the Financial DNA Resources specializes in human behavioral discovery, providing proprietary behavioral finance solutions, and specializes in human capital development. And he's also a director of Right Path Resources, and that's a worldwide provider of human capital solutions. And this financial DNA program, it's a program for investors, families, and advisors to objectively predict their financial decision-making behavior, preferences, and life plan before making any decisions. And let me just look down here. Some other things about you. He's a leading international speaker on behavioral wealth creation. He's presented at a number of leading industry events around the world. I know he's slated to be in one just a couple months from now because I just saw it popping up. He's a leading mentor to individuals, families, entrepreneurs, and business executives. And I have in front of me a copy of his new book out, Financial DNA, Discovering Your Unique Financial Personality for a Quality Life. And we're going to be talking about that later. There's more and more I could tell you about you, all of his educational background, but that would cover the whole hour. So I'm going to skip that, and I'm just going to say welcome, you.
Thank you, Roy. It's great to be here this evening.
Well, now that accent of yours is certainly not a Brooklyn accent. Where is that from?
Well, I came from Sydney, Australia. And over the last couple of years, I've migrated towards the United States, where I've been living in Atlanta, Georgia, for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, the company, 1996 is when you started it. I mean, what was the impetus for beginning the company? Where did you come from? Why financial DNA at this point or that point in your career?
Well, in 1996, I had just got to the end of a 10-year career as a CPA, or what we call in Australia a chartered accountant, working as an international tax specialist with Arthur Andersen. And I got to a point where I felt it was time for me to move on to do something for myself, more entrepreneurial. So I went out with a clean slate and set up the Coddington Group, really to be a family office business dealing with high net worth families and their particular transactions, and that's what I started to do. And I suppose about 3 years into that, or 3.5 years into that, a friend of mine asked me one day when she thought I wasn't so happy, what are you really passionate about? And that was a question that I'd never been asked before. And it was really what I wanted to do was educate people to make more self-empowered decisions. So I got to a life turning point myself, and I started to take a look at what I was good at, what I really enjoyed, what made me happy, but also where I thought the industry would be. And so what I was really doing was working out how could I build a life, and personally but also business-wise, that was congruent to who I was. And that really set me on the path towards building financial DNA, because what I realized was missing in financial services was a lot more client discovery. And I could see that if advisors and myself at that time could really become the mentor of the client and not just have a transactional focus, I would do a lot better and be a lot happier. And that was really a big driver for me. So it was, coming from the inside, no one was telling me that this was a path and here was the opportunity. It really was everything just converging at once, over a period of time. And so I started to put financial DNA together. And what I really realized was that when people ask a financial question, they're really asking a life question. And that is, the big reason that people are coming to see us as financial advisors. It's not so much about the money, it's really about their lives. And to understand that, you need to understand behavior. And that's what drove me really to financial DNA.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, as you were speaking, I thought I could have put myself in the conversation and been talking about myself, because I found the same thing after 30 years in practice dealing with clients' finances. I said, wait, there's more to this than just money. And in fact, all of the relationships that we've developed with our clients, what they were talking about was not the money issues. Was how to solve their personal problems or the stress creators in their life. And, how could we use the financial wherewithal that they had, or the way they used money, or the way they perceived it, and the way they understood the totality of their wealth. And so we came along and said, well, gee, there's more to this than one dimension. And so hence we started on three dimensions, and personal wealth, financial wealth, and social wealth. And so that's the name of the radio show that you're on right now. And for us, there's no turning back. I mean, you get to a point and all of a sudden the light bulb goes on and you say, this is it. This is what, all of a sudden, if the people, and that's what I think sort of is turning our crank, and I think the same thing with you, is if the advisors that we dealt with or the clients that we dealt with knew what we knew about behavioral finance, about counseling, and how to be a better advisor, if they knew all these things could be possible, that, in fact, they would be seeking out and looking for advisors who could do the things that we're going to talk about today. So for us, it was sort of an aha that came along, and I said, we have to go there. And if we don't, for me, it was like, am I going to do this again? They sort of 15-year cycles for me. So it was, the first 15 and the second 15, and I came to the third 15, and I'm 5 years into that now, and I'm going, am I going to play this, the third quarter of the game, if there's four quarters, the same way I played the first two? And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So that's the exciting part, and I think that's what I hear you saying.
Yeah, I think, Roy, that I got to the same place you did, and, I got there fairly early in life, for whatever reason, but there is no right time or right age. I think this happens, and I think certainly when I had these aha moments late 99 going through the early 2000s, there's definitely no going back. And if I'm to live who I am, which I think is very important, and what I'm teaching others, then I can only continue to go down this path. And the more I do, the more it's revealed to me, and the more I know it's right. And importantly, I think, having done some workshops on the weekend to a whole lot of investors, this is really what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they can't quite articulate it, I think they're definitely looking to be understood as people, and that's absolutely what's key here. And it's funny how when you help them get the purpose right, the clarity comes around their money and their financial decisions. And when people can, learn to acknowledge that, this becomes easier. I think that, one of my big points is that if we talk about money with a client, we'll actually never really know who they are or never get clarity for them, because money brings up so many emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you and I are, and I think there are, others who are coming on the path as well, which is great, are part of the forefront of this change in financial services.
Well, I think that's right. I think right now, we are creating the future in what we're doing, and I think it's not that it's all of a sudden it's just sort of popped up. I think what's happening, why it's you and I and others sort of at the same time are seeing this, is my idea is that when we started, for me, 35 years ago, and I'm looking out, I'm standing on the shore, and I look out, as I look out of my career, and I say, there's the horizon, and boy, that's what we're going to go for, and that's all we could see. And so we start off, and as we go along, we get to the horizon, and when we get to the end of the horizon, you know what we find? The horizon has moved. We never get there. And those people who have been out, like you and I, for a while doing this, realize that there's a whole new horizon that the people who are still standing on shore, who are just pushing off, they can't even see it. They don't understand it. And that's why I say there's no turning back. Seeing what we see now, I'm going, oh, what we can do and how we can impact the lives of our clients, and then, of course, you and I, trying to impact the lives of advisors so they can then impact the lives of clients, there is no turning back. There is an interesting phrase that I see in all of your material, and it says wealth mentor. Ha. What does that mean? You're the only one I've seen that uses wealth mentor.
Well, Roy, I always like to be different. That was my whole driver with this. I think that was the driver really behind the name Financial DNA, which somehow itself popped out of my mouth. But wealth mentor really is, when I come back to looking at how I got there on that, that really came from me in the sense that I want to be remembered to many others as a wealth mentor. And I found that what I had been for quite a long time, even when I was an accountant and then had become a, you know, financial advisor, family office advisor, that I was really people's guide, and I was very good at getting in their shoes and asking them the right questions and letting them come to what were the right conclusions for them. So I really believe that the wealth mentor is a person who plays a pretty high role in someone's life. You're definitely the trusted advisor when you're doing that. And you're really there standing beside the person, just helping guide them along. Because I think in the end, everybody, at least subconsciously, knows the right answers for themselves. They just need to be liberated to bring it out and live it and encouraged, and just need someone else who's gone before them, to do it. And I believe, you know, that I'm in a good place to do that, and I'm really keen to train others to do it. I think, I see the terms different to coaching. I think coaching is a little bit more short-term, and you're a lot more of a teacher with coaching, and you're influencing people as to what is the right way to go and the right way to live and the right way to make decisions. I don't think we can do that. And I'm certainly not going to play the role of coach in that sense. You know, we're not running a football team. You know, we're people's guide, and I think that's very different.
The thing that I try to do, and when we talk about wealth, is have people define what wealth is. Of course, the automatic is when they think about wealth, they think, okay, it's my stock and bond portfolio, it's my IRAs, my 401ks, my insurance, my last will and testament, and all those kind of things. And so that's the knee-jerk reaction. It's something I can quantify, I can put it on my, you know, calculator, graph it, chart it, and all those kind of things. And so when we look at it, we try to get them to think of, you know, not just financial wealth, but what about their intangible wealth? You know, what about their life lessons? What about their values? And then in their social wealth, the relationships and how they make a difference. And so when I think of the word wealth mentor, and I think that's what you were saying,
it's holistic.
It's more, yeah, it's right. It's more than just being a financial wealth mentor. But it's looking at, in our terms, the three dimensions of their wealth and how to synchronize them as a mentor and have them have real, you know, real power when you put it together. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think I totally agree with that, and that, you know, our definition of wealth is, you know, probably focused on the mentor part before, which is very important, I think, the word mentor. But I think wealth is non-financial wealth, and, you know, the lesson I've learned in life, I think if you start to get the balance right on the non-financial part, the financial part seems to grow as well. And I think there's a happy medium there for all people. And, you know, I put health and relationships in there as well. You know, I think the list's unlimited on what wealth encompasses.
Well, that's terrific. I know one of your phrases is understanding people before numbers, and I love that. We're going to take a short break, you, but we're going to be back. We're going to talk about the three discovery stages of financial DNA, so stay tuned for more of Three Dimensional Wealth.
business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
If suddenly you're numb or weak on one side, limb, or face,
it could be a stroke. Get help. Don't wait.
Maybe it's a loved one suddenly slurring their speech or dizzy.
Call 911 and get medical help quickly.
Blacks have a higher occurrence. Do you want to know more?
Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost.
A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
What I Want to Be When I Grow Up by Johnny Mike.
Dad, it's John. I got the promotion. We'll call him John Jr.
You'll speak over 500 million words in your lifetime, but none of them will be as important as the words you use to tell your six-year-old he has cancer. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
Our show for today is entitled Financial DNA, and I'm here with Hugh Massey, who's the author of the new book, Financial DNA, Discovering Your Unique Financial Personality for a Quality Life. Well, isn't that what we want? It's, the title's got me intrigued, that's for sure.
Well, we all want a quality life, and I think one of the things that, you know, with behavior, and I've taken a behavioral path with this whole mission to integrate life to finances. And, you know, many people sit there and have said behavior, so what? And really, what I've tried to do is connect it to something that's meaningful and show how it outworks itself in all aspects of their life. And I think, Roy, that's where you really wanted me to talk about the process, isn't it?
Yeah, there was something that I saw you put down. It's the three discovery stages of financial DNA. And I think those stages are client relationship, financial direction, and financial life goal visioning. I think I've got it right. So let's go back and talk about maybe stage one. Is that it?
Yeah, stage one. Let's talk about that. And I think what I'd like to do for the audience is connect it back to the ending statement that you made when we just went to the break then, understanding people before numbers, because that's the philosophy of our firm. But one of the things that I really got to realize is that's a pretty deep statement. And to understand people, I truly believe you need to understand behavior. And when we look at the definition of financial DNA, it really means your unique financial personality. And we break that down between a person's natural behavioral style and then their learned behaviors. And what we do in our process is we have stage one, which is uncovering a person's natural behaviours. This is the behaviours that is shaped into them from birth to about the first 3 years of their life. And it's often what we call the hardwired behaviour. It's very fixed, and this is where a person's go-to position is. And what we have seen is, and why we believe it's important to discover this first, is it because it shapes how a person sees the world and how they're going to be motivated to make certain types of decisions, including financial decisions, and how they will process their life. And also, we found it to be very important for relationships. And, you know, if I explain that a little bit more, you know, if I use a personal example, me and my brother are 15 months apart in age, but we are polar opposite in natural behavioural style. We see the world completely differently, process our family life differently, and therefore, you know, this has sort of brought a lot of reconciliation, I think, as well, in the family, but I think for others to understand that it's important.
Let me just jump in for a second. What you're saying then is that the work that you've done has actually helped to develop a better relationship with you and your brother as a result of what you're doing.
There's that. This brought a lot of clarity for me and my brother, but I think there's also, and I think importantly with my mother as well.
Okay.
I think it's brought a lot of family clarity as to who each of us are, an understanding of how our life paths have gone a certain direction, the impact of, you know, our life journey has been there, you know. And I think, you know, my mother brought up, you know, two very different boys, and whilst we never really had a relationship difficulty, we are very different. And I think to understand that is huge. And I think for families, this is significant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very significant. I think for husband and wives, it's huge as well, because the natural behaviours really drive the money differences as well between the couple, because really inside the natural behaviours is also how we communicate with others, you know, and how we want to be communicated with. And so that's where, following this process, we can uncover the motivations of the clients, family units, but also how they will communicate with each other. And that's foundational to doing any financial planning work. And clearly I'm a big believer in the advisor doing this process first. And, you know, the advisor has got to relate to the client.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the stepping stone to that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we found in the curriculum that we've developed for certified three-dimensional wealth practitioner for advisors is the same thing. We feel like, boy, the advisors better understand the process. And so the things that you're talking about, we've got curriculum developed by PhD counselor on conflict mediation, you know, divorce and family dynamics, stress and career building, dying, death, and, you know, bereavement. And so a number of those things. And then we have a couple of courses which are about social styles, understanding social styles that you're talking about, and also behavioral finance, an overview of why this comes in and how this ties in. So, yeah, we think that for an advisor, without this kind of additional education and understanding, that you're going to miss a lot, and I think you'll misadvise.
Yeah, I think you're right, Roy, and I think that the big thing is that we often, and it's on our website, but I often use an iceberg to explain the example, but every human being has blind spots about themselves. No matter how good you are with people, how much personal work you've done on yourself, every human being has blind spots
mm-hmm.
about themselves. And how you see yourself at any particular day, and that does change, will govern how you see others. So as an advisor, you could say, well, I've already got pretty good intuition and I'm good at reading people. Yeah, you are, and you're in the, and that's why you might have been successful in the business. But that doesn't mean that you still get it right. And there's still a lot of things you miss. And, you know, even today I was dealing with a family setting to change it. And I know, and the parents admitted they weren't seeing their kids as objectively as they could, because all parents have a perception of who their children are. And I think, you know, what we're doing is helping in a very safe, fun way to get under that iceberg and bring out with a lot less emotion who each person is, and enable these differences to be addressed and for people to move forward. And I think it's an easy way for the advisor to, in most cases, and if there's extreme psychological conditions or situations, the advisor to facilitate family or a couple better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just one client, you know.
Hey, do us a favor, just the website. You referred to your website. What's the website so people might be able to put that down?
Yeah, our website is www.financialdna.biz. So .biz.
Financialdna.biz. Okay. I think I got you off the track here. We started talking
about the three discovery stages.
So.
Yeah, we talked about the first part, which is really uncovering the motivations and the relationship model based on natural behavior. What we do is to get the full financial DNA of a person, which is the financial personality, you need to also understand the learned behaviors. And these are the behaviors that change. I mean, in the end, human beings, we all do change and our personalities evolve, but whilst there is a core part that remains the same, our learned behaviours can develop, you know, and our learned behaviours might be our value sets. The value sets evolve over time. Passions evolve. And what we do in our second profile called Financial Directions is uncover what a person's financial preferences are at a particular time. And they get revealed in 18 areas, right down to what they want in terms of asset classes to the advisory relationship, motivations for life, philanthropy, a whole lot of areas get broken down. And in actual fact, it enables us to build a portfolio from the inside out for the client. So, you know, most portfolio development is very much what I call an outside-in approach, making assumptions about the person, their age, how much money they've got, what they should have. And it's often the advisor's perception. Here we're taking from the inside out, what does the person really feel that they want about a portfolio and who are they? And then this enables the advisor then to marry that with the client,
mm-hmm.
With the outside-in approach. And that becomes a very powerful discussion. And I think in the end leads to a much better financial plan getting done.
So
that takes about 45 minutes to do that part of the process. That's stage two.
Yep, okay.
Stage one takes about 15 to 20 minutes.
So now we've put an hour in.
We've put an hour in, yeah. So you start off with 15 to 20 minutes, and then you go to 45 minutes if you really want to dig in deeper.
Okay. And then when do we come to this third part of the process, financial life goal visioning?
The third part there, the financial life goal visioning, is really when advisors start taking the clients through what I call the quality life discovery, when we're helping people find their life purpose, because we think that foundational to the plan in the end is the clients have got to be able to work out their life purpose. So here's where we do a more discovery to help the client work out what they're passionate about and what their values are. So we have a series of profiles in here, like we have the passion and vision profile. Then we have a values profile. They all take about 15 minutes to do, and they uncover themes in the person's life, which with a very structured process we have as advisors, we have trained advisors with, this enables the life purpose to be worked out.
Perfect. Well, we're going to take a break, but I'll tell you what, as you talk, this parallels our book, Three Dimensional Wealth, so closely, it's exciting. We'll be back in just a few minutes and for our second half of Three Dimensional Wealth. Stay with us.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
As a financial planner, do your clients really read all that computer-generated boilerplate text in an analysis? The FPS Financial Planning Software is designed for you to show your clients a concise and easy-to-follow report of their financial needs. The FPS system guides your clients to clearly see any needs that they may have in the achieving of their goals. Clients are guided to a decision rather than just reading the analysis. For a free copy of the FPS system, call 1-800-245-1991. Once again, that's 1-800-245-1991.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk. Voice America Business.
We now return to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roy Diefendorf. Direct your questions and comments to www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now the host of Three-Dimensional Wealth, Roy Diefendorf.
Welcome back. My guest for today is Hugh Massey, and he's the founder of Financial DNA Resources and the author of the book Financial DNA. And just before our break, Hugh, I want to follow up because we were talking about this financial life goal visioning, and you were starting to describe before the break about the quality of life and how this helps to have somebody establish what it is they really want to get out of life. How does that work?
Yeah, that's right. I think the first two parts of the process really are a lot more behavioral discovery that lead to, you know, a very pointed outcome. It's a bit more mechanical. The third part.
Yeah, I always kind of put the analogy of that's like getting the EKG and the X-ray.
That's,
you know,
it.
And then you look at it and say, okay, now what?
Yeah, I think what we've done is we actually say it's the MRI scan, but I think we've done the MRI scan on the client.
Okay.
And now what we're really doing is facilitating the client, and I think that if we're being helping the client get to truth, they need to get to real clarity of goals. And what I realized is that's really discovering the life purpose, and I think that's firstly understanding your natural talents, which come from the behavioral discovery out of stage one, your aptitudes, financial aptitudes, and then really looking at what you're passionate about. And so therefore we're using the next profile, as I was mentioning before, to help someone uncover what they're passionate about. Not everybody knows what they're passionate about, and you know, you can have passions in different areas of your life, and we work through that. But what I have learned is you can't really define your passion, what you love to do every day, unless you know what your talents are. Because if you are working against your talents, then you can't be doing what you love every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a pretty clear stepping stone. So really what we're doing is working out your unique gift, which is your talents plus your passions. But then how are you going to live that every day? And working out what your true values are. And that's a key part, and how you want to be remembered. So we have very structured questions, again, in a values appraisal to work that out.
The one thing I've found in our practice is, again, looking at, you know, the legacy that you're going to leave, and it's not just about the money, the, you know, the financial legacy, but it's the, you know, the personal wealth, you know, how you're going to be remembered and how you're going to make a difference. And, you know, what we sort of describe is, you know, how do you pass on your values and not just your valuables?
Yeah,
unless you really get in sync with, like you were saying, what it is that you want to accomplish, and get your core values established, and then get your, you know, sort of your purpose statement and your vision statement in mind, you'll have no idea how to even put those financial resources into use.
That's right. That really defines the money clarity for you. And
right.
I think people get big aha experiences when they do that. And I think Roy, what's important to understand about our process with this, and I think why it's unique, is that we really focus on the behaviors the whole way through, even working out the values. People's values are often shaped by their behavioral style. And if I make that concrete, and I think in an area that you're going to bring up in a minute, around philanthropy, one of the things that I've really seen is that depending on your behavioral style, some people are actually philanthropic in nature, others are more charitable in nature. And there's, as you probably know, there's a difference in terms of sort of how people approach planned giving.
What's the difference?
Well, the way I see it is the charitable giving is more towards needs-based giving. Someone sees a need and they give to that, and often it can be more micro. The people who are more charitable are often more local area, whereas the philanthropy is more driven around a perceived area that could be developed, you know, putting money into cancer research, setting up a new foundation to, you know, to help children, that type of thing. And there's lots of examples of it. But often those sorts of, the philanthropist is often an impact type giver, and they take a very different approach to giving. They often want to run their own foundation to fulfill a personal vision that's, you know, not necessarily going to generate them a financial outcome. It's still giving, but there's a very different approach to it.
You know, what we found in using family foundations is that it is an excellent place to use as an incubator for training heirs. And,
yep.
and training heirs on financial stewardship,
yep.
Training heirs on understanding, you know, asset allocation, you know, what are we doing with the funds in there? And it's very hard to kind of goof up and screw up with them within the investment policy statement of your family foundation. It says, hey, this is what our family stands for, and this is what we believe in, and this is our philanthropic mission statement. And so it's the place that we think is just a terrific spot to train the heirs, so when eventually the financial resources that they will be transferred to them, they've been through it, and it's not a surprise. And that's where most of the families that we find run into problems, is that it's not the running of the race, but it's the passing of the baton where it gets dropped. And in those transitions, many of them fail just because it's not that the money plans didn't work, but it's the people plans didn't work. And so that's where we're using those kind of family foundations in what we're doing, not just for the financial purpose or the philanthropic, but for the development of the people and the unification of the family. Excellent tool.
Yeah, they are. I think it's a very unifying, you know, avenue for the, or vehicle for the family. Very. And it's something that can bring the family together, but also there can still, nevertheless, I think, Roy, and you would know this, getting the family to act together, actually, to agree what their philanthropic purpose is and who they are as a family, you know, is a difficult exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And communicating with every person on their terms about that is important. I think a family could have the values to give, but how do they go about doing the giving? And what we've found is that financial DNA has been quite a useful process to help, you know, move that process along and make people feel comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And feel understood and appreciated.
What we've found is that really two facilitators in a situation like that become very helpful.
Yep.
And so we'll use either a family systems therapist that we've have here, or and they'll teamed up with one of our three-dimensional wealth practitioners, and that combination in those situations becomes very helpful, not only in doing the philanthropic mission statement, but a family mission statement. And there's one other thing that you, an exercise that you talk about, and I don't know if you use the letters, but it's MUP, My Unique Profile. How does that tie into this?
Yeah, the My Unique Profile and thank you for bringing it up, really is my passion, one of my big passions with financial DNA. And I really, it's an exercise that people do once they have completed the financial DNA Path 4 and 6 profiles, which is the first profile. We talked about stage one before, the natural behaviors. When you've done the financial, when you've done those financial DNA Path 4 and 6 profiles, I encourage everybody to go and do their My Unique Profile. It's a way for the individual to go and own their profile. And what you do in this exercise is identify your 8 strengths. So what are your 8 talents? And then you identify 4 struggles. Now, we never say the term weakness, because really weaknesses are come about when you don't address the struggles. So people feel a lot more comfortable, I have a struggle, and not shut down when you talk about weaknesses. But we also believe, Roy, why this is important is that people should be working with their strengths and managing their struggles, or be aware of their struggles and their impact on others, but not trying to change the flow on that. And the other part with the My Unique Profile, why I'm passionate about it, is it deals with communication keys. How does that person want to be communicated with? And, you know, all my clients, a lot of my clients are advisors now, but also, you know, family clients, all my staff, other people I interact with, all have the My Unique Profile, which has got their strengths, struggles, and communication keys all down onto a little business card size card, which they keep in their wallet or a pocket or on their desk, and use it each day in interactions. But the communication keys is important. I think that when, whether it's a family group, advisor, client, teams in the business, can know how to communicate and adapt their communication on someone else's terms, that's when rubber starts to hit the road with this whole process, because you're causing change, you're building trust. And I think, you know, this is foundational to the whole message. So I really would love, and my dream is, I know it's idealistic, but in a way, although I'm a rational guy, I'm an idealist as well. I'd love to see everyone have one of these cards. And they can be accessed on our website for
free. Give us that website again, just so
www.financialdna.biz. And if you go to the second tab on the left, Getting Started with the Process, you will see it there. It's also, examples of them are laid out inside our website on about how the process works, so you can see what's happening. And people find it really fun. Husband and wives love to have this because, you know, they now know how to communicate with each other in a stressful situation. And, you know, it's sometimes difficult to adapt. This gives us the roadmap to do it.
Terrific. The only thing I'd like to say is, I don't know if this is an Australian thing, but your Path 4 and 6, couldn't you have numbered them 1 and 2, make it a little simpler for me to know
I'll explain that why in the next part.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back for our final segment of Three Dimensional Wealth. Stay tuned.
Fresh, dynamic, and totally prepared for continuing business education. Business Talk Radio. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Financial planning can be confusing and complex, and unless you have a solid game plan, you could be taking unnecessary risks and missing out on tremendous opportunities. Let Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates take the mystery out of investing and help you build a solid financial foundation for years to come. Diefendorf Capital Planning revolves around the family, and through our financial service companies and three-dimensional wealth centers, we strive to deliver total wealth management financially, personally, and socially. Learn more about what Diefendorf Capital Planning Associates can do for you. Visit the website at diefendorfcapital.com today. Integrity, full service, best in class, diefendorfcapital.com.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, businessamericaradio.com.
Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson talks about the nuts and bolts of starting, running, and expanding a business. From time management, leadership, sales, marketing, and customer service, to office management, using technology, business plans, accounting, taxes, and networking. Danielle and her expert guests share their years of experience on a variety of topics. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson. Useful tips, authoritative advice, creative solutions. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Become a better leader. Build a great career. Learn how to successfully own and run a business. It's time for Common Sense Advice with the Common Sense Guy, hosted by Bud Belanich. With wit and an irreverent attitude towards business, life, and the business of life, Bud, the Common Sense Guy Belanich, and his interesting, accomplished guests feature common sense advice on leading people, building your career, and starting and running your own business. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for The Common Sense Guy with Bud Belanich, and walk away with common sense ideas to use right away. The Common Sense Guy, leadership, career enhancement, entrepreneurship, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Bringing you the keys to total wealth management, this is Three-Dimensional Wealth with Roe Diefendorf. Comments or questions? Visit www.diefendorfcapital.com or call 516-759-3900. Now back to the show. Here's Roe Diefendorf.
I'm here with you, Massey, and we're discussing financial DNA. And again, before our break, I asked the question, you've got to process financial DNA paths 4 and 6, and you take them in a 1-2 order. You know, I thought, boy, the Australian guy doesn't even know how to count. Why do you call them 4 and 6? And I know there's some methodology to your madness.
Well, even though I'm from down under, there is some logic from down there. What it really is the first two profiles. So stage one, I'm just going to outline the process here. I think it'll make it clear now. That stage one, the natural behavior, you do two profiles that take a total of about 20 minutes. And the first one's called Path 4. It's a four-factor profile that measures 8 behavioral traits. That's why we call it Path 4 for the four factors. And then Path 6 is a six-factor profile that measures 6 factors and then 16 sub-factors. The Path 4 we call an X-ray, and the Path 6 we call the MRI scan. They cross-validate and provide some different information, and you know, very powerful information on the natural behaviour. So they go down pretty deep there. So Rui, that's why we're calling them Path 4 and 6. So there is some logic, but it's a good question because everybody asks the same question.
Okay. Now, on the website, can you navigate us through or sort of explain? Maybe people might not be sitting there, but just how that works and what we would look for and what we, the desired outcome for a client, for an advisor, what we might want to get out of this.
Yeah, if anyone goes to our website, www.financialdna.biz, we've got a pretty loaded up website. And if you looked at About Financial DNA in the section there, it really takes you through how the process works, the goals of financial DNA, how it's used.
Can I just jump in for a second? This would be the process for an advisor
to look at,
or is this a process for a client or an end user?
It's a process for both. So it's really written a little bit towards the client.
I think we just lost you on that. So if he's going to be dialing back in, we'll pick it up. But I will pick up from where he left off. I think what's happening on there is that this profiling is done for advisors to be able to take the clients. An individual can go on their website and pick up that information and from that use it themselves. But if an advisor goes through, and you've got some pretty extensive training, goes through the training, that training will allow those advisors then to be able to use that in their practice to understand, get deeper relationships, and make much more meaningful recommendations in terms of where you're going with your life, and how do you then sync them up with the financial resources that you have. And that's really the trend that we see, and it's sort of what we call life planning. There's more and more being written about it. You'll see it every day. In fact, I opened up the paper on Thursday, New York Times, and there was a whole page about helping a client put together their family mission statement. And in fact, here with us, Three Dimensional Wealth, we help clients put together family legacy, family missions statements, and their personal wealth, how to develop that and pass it on. So we're doing those kinds of things that are really out in front.
I'm back, Roy, just so you know.
Okay, well, I was just sort of explaining the process. I was just going to move to your book, you, because I do want to cover some of that before our hour expires. The book is just out now. I think I have the first copy, you, Financial DNA. And the book is again, talking about the process that we've talked about, but there are a couple of chapters that are of great interest to me, and one is building a great relationship with your advisor, and maybe just talk about that. The other one I love is Unlocking Family Dynamics for Greater Family Wealth, because one of the things that we've found is that it's not just, again, financial wealth. In fact, if you look at the totality of your wealth, there's also a breadth of wealth that expands out, but there's a depth of wealth that goes from one generation to the next. And so it's how to maximize your legacy and have, you know, have that family wealth really be addressed. And so I see those chapters in here. So tell us more about your book, and again, you're going to tell us before this hour finishes where to get it. But this is Financial DNA. Go ahead, you.
Thank you, Roy. The book is actually just been released today, so it's very exciting that I'm on here and sharing it with you, Roy, to talk about the book. And I think that really what the book's been structured to do, it's been written towards the consumer and so how they would experience financial DNA. But importantly, I have structured it so that an advisor would know actually how to take a client or a consumer or a family or even a business team through the whole process and experience it. So it can be seen in one side as a self-development book for the family, how that experienced financial DNA, but also for an advisor to mentor them through the process. And I think what's important in here is, one, I've shown in Chapter 2 how someone can reinvent their lives by really understanding who they are and get themselves on the right path. By understanding their behavioral style and discovering, you know, their values and their passions. And then I think in, you know, chapters 6 and 7, which you were alluding to, really showing how for the client or the consumer, what you should expect out of a relationship with your advisor, how you communicate with them, and importantly, how they should be communicating with you and approaching the financial advisory relationship so that you get the most out of it and it really does build a long-term, trusted, you know, relationship. The other parts we get sort of going forward in the book, we do show the process to find your life purpose, but then down in the towards the end we talk about family dynamics, and I know, Roy, this is one of your passions.
It is.
And here I've used a, you know, really come from the perspective that the family relationships, the quality of the family relationships really drives their wealth. And the currency of the family, if you want to call it that, is driven by their relationship. So what I've used is a real-life case study. All of the case studies in this book are from real-life situations, obviously adapted a bit, to show how a family could be facilitated through this to objectively discover who they are and, you know, manage a succession process. And in the end, overall be happier. And so I think, you know, that's a pretty exciting chapter because, you know, I love doing that type of work as you do.
Well, and that was really our book, Three Dimensional Wealth. The same concept is really, you know, how to get more out of your life and how to look at the totality of your wealth. And that was the interesting part that we found is that my sort of challenge to people in our book is that if you take money off your financial balance sheet, and transferred from your social wealth, I mean, from your personal wealth to your social wealth. You give it away and you do it for somebody, something else, right? For someone else?
Yep.
Can you be wealthier? In the totality of your wealth, you know, in one dimension, you'd say, no, I have less than when I started. However, in the totality of your wealth, I say, wait a second. You may have significantly greater wealth. And that's the part of understanding what family wealth is about and total wealth is about, or even on the personal side.
Yeah,
and
I think
we've done that many times with clients who, as we've gone through, they have more assets than they need. They have more income than they need. And, you know, I say, well, listen, we have the ability to take it out of the money bank and put it in the memory bank and do something significant or take some time or go away with your kids or grandchildren or do something like that, rather than just keep accumulating it. And so if they do that and they take it away from their financial statement, are they more wealthy by having had those experiences and those lessons together? In our opinion, there's no question. In the totality, their family is much wealthier for it.
Yeah, I agree with all that 100%, and I think that, you know, I think what I've really hammered home in the book, not only is that part, but in the end, the relationships, and there's no point having a lot of money if there's poor relationships in the family. And, you know, these decisions become hard, these financial decisions, and even some of the philanthropic decisions become very difficult if there's a fractured family. And so therefore, what we've really tried to do is show how that bridge can be built.
You know, it's funny because when I bring clients in and I'll ask them, you know, well, what is it that you'd really like to see? And, of course, then they've got their financial statement in front of them. And then they don't say, well, I'd like to see more of, you know, bonds or more stocks or more growth. What they tell me is, what I'd really like to see is my kids get along better in life or, you know, when we're gone, not be concerned about this. And it really has very little to do with the actual dollars that are sitting on the financial statement.
Yeah, and I think the other part that you know, I talk about in this book, and I think, you know, there will be another book that comes out that will be totally focused on families, because we work with the term family DNA a fair bit these days. But I think helping, the best financial education I think kids can be given is to help find their purpose, and not just to understand the transactional side, but if they can find their purpose, if they've come from a wealthy home, I think this is, you know, if you take Jesse and Neil's work with the Golden Ghetto, I think you can really help the kids get out of that and build their life properly. And that solves a whole lot of family problems in its own right, you know.
You, where can we get a hold of your book quickly?
The book can be bought on Amazon. So you can go directly to Amazon or to our website, www.financialdna.biz. And you can order it straight out on there, and it will then be delivered to you. The Amazon price is $26.37. Not quite sure how they arrived at that, but
all right.
The book's been published by John Wiley and Sons, so they've handled the pricing aspect. If anybody comes to us direct and wants to put in a bulk order, we obviously can negotiate a price.
All right. Well, I think we're out of time. Thank you.
Fantastic,
thank
Rory.
You
really enjoyed it.
Three-dimensional wealth.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Three-Dimensional Wealth with Rory Diefendorf. Please join us again next Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time for more tips and strategies for achieving total wealth management on Three-Dimensional Wealth right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk.